Well, good evening. Praise God. It is a wonderful day. God continues to show himself faithful. Man, it's the faithfulness of God. I thank God for this opportunity and this privilege, giving honor to Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to my man of God, my pastor, all the ministers in the body. We are truly blessed in this house. We have some dynamic teaching over the last few months. I've been blessed, Brock. Brother John, Brother Brian, Brother Scott. I mean, it's like I just want to sit down and just receive. This is so good. But God had been stirring in me for a few weeks, this message, and I didn't know when the opportunity would come, but I just was ready. It's like, God, whenever you were ready for it, I'm ready for it. So, and Sister Michelle started it. I started to take my shoe off and throw it at her. She started it tonight. And then the flow began, and I'm just laughing. I'm like, I haven't talked to any of these people, and they're all in what God has put. But that's when you know you're hearing from God, when it's echoed in the body and people are saying that the same things that you know the Lord has put in your heart, you know you're in the right place hearing. And that's an encouragement to me to know that I'm hearing correct and accurately. But man, when it started, and we're going to get into some of what and kind of expound on some of the things that started in the beginning of the assembly. But God is really trying. He's ooing and wooing his people to say, man, let's get the ball going. Let's stop playing church and let's be the church. Let's operate in what I've deposited and what I've put inside of you, because this is the season. I can't remember how many times, and I was just talking to the Lord about this. I said, man, God, how many words have come through men and women, Sister Gail, other ministers have said, this is our season. Amen. We've heard that. This is our season. And the only thing that's in the way of our season and its fulfillment is us. And God is saying, let us get out of the way and let it manifest. Amen. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about that. And if we were to entitle this message, I would call it For Such a Time as This. For Such a Time as This. And the reference to that is in Esther, chapter 4 in Esther, when, you know, all the stuff was going on and she sent word to Mordecai. And man, I thank God for Mordecai, because he was like, look, girl, God put you in that place for a reason. Quit lollygagging and complaining and realize he's called you for such a time as this. And when that message got on the inside of her, it motivated her and everything began to change. And that's what we need. Sometimes we need that spark, that ignition from the Holy Spirit to say, look, I've put something in you. I've deposited something in you. Now it's time for you to rise and shine, for your light has come. So we're going to look at some things, and we all know, if you have not gotten Pastor Jim's book on original intent, or if you haven't looked at that in a while, I would encourage you to go back and begin to just really regurgitating and getting that word on the inside of you, because God is not schizophrenic. What he began from the very beginning is still his will for today. He wants his creation to be aligned with his kingdom plan and purpose. But who's going to manifest? Who's going to make that manifest? It's us. We are the people who build the kingdom. And so it's important for us to understand that in order for God's perfect plan and purpose to be accomplished, his body has to start getting aligned. His body has to start arising to the purposes and the plans that he has destined for us to walk in. It's not, we've learned from Pastor Jim on a continuous basis that nothing in God is automatic. We have to lay hold of it. And so we're going to look at some things. You all are very familiar of what God told Adam in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, when he created and formed and made man in his image. And he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. We've heard that so much. And it's always, yes, we are supposed to have dominion and we are supposed to rule. We hear that continually, and that comes out of our mouth. And then Jesus cap that off and once again restoring us into fellowship with the Father when he sacrificed himself, came back and said, guys, look, I want you to go into all the nations. Once again, God is not schizophrenic. Jesus came and said, look, it hasn't stopped. There's not a pause button. The mission is still subdue the earth, take dominion, start making disciples and get them indoctrinated into this thing called kingdom and start fulfilling the plan and purpose of the Father. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And he said that he would be with us. So we're not doing this by ourselves. We're co-laborers with him. He has equipped us and he's going with us. But notice the go part, the go part. He didn't say stop. He said go. And so on top of that, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he gave us the fuel to go because he said the Holy Spirit would empower us to be witnesses in the earth. So we got the word. We've got the spirit. We are fully equipped to fulfill the plan and purpose of God. But here's the thing that kind of storm works. It kind of puts a blockage in the whole fulfillment of the whole thing. We don't realize that the me, the individual me, is part of that plan. We think it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But you don't realize that Brother Richard, my child, Kenneth, each one of us are an integral part of that fulfillment of seeing kingdom manifested in the earth. And if we don't understand that our part is just as important as the next person's, the mission can't get fulfilled. And so I want us to understand tonight, let's marry those two passages that gave us the mandate to a verse in Jeremiah, verse 1-5. And God told Jeremiah, he said, before you were in the womb, he said, I knew you. We're talking a specific individual person. But each one of us, guess what? God knew each one of us before we were in our mother's womb, before he even created all of creation. In other words, each one of us is an integral part of seeing kingdom and seeing the creation of God manifested. That not one of you in this room is not part of that plan. Absolutely not. God would not be a just God if he did not design every last one of us in this place to be an integral part of seeing his kingdom manifested. But the thing is that we've got to believe that. And we've got to see ourselves in the equation of, yes, I matter to God. And what he has deposited in me, no matter how big it might seem or small or whatever, no matter what it looks like that he's put on the inside of me, it is vital to the kingdom's manifestation in the earth. And so, just like God had a divine plan before his creation, he also had a divine plan set before us as part of his creation, and more than that, as his children. As his children, Pastor talked about this, that, you know, when he declared that he is the Lord of hosts, he was calling for a host before there was any host, because it was his heart of hearts that he would have a family, that he would. And that never changed. That's one of the most, in fact, the most descriptive word of God that he describes himself as, Jehovah, Lord of hosts. So he wants his people. He wants his people to not just be little children that sit in the frame, but he wants us manifesting what he's put on the inside of us in the earth. And this is a main thought. And this is what, when God spoke this, I was like, it blew my mind the way he said this. He said, we all have our own unique vehicle that should ultimately lead to the kingdom mandate known as original intent. We all have our own unique vehicle that should ultimately lead to the kingdom mandate known as original intent. And so I said, well, you got to explain that a little bit. He said, okay, this is the analogy he gave me. John is telling everybody after church, meet him at County Line, and he's got the bill. That's just the illustration, brother. Don't get nervous.
And so he's put it out there. But guess what? I can sit around and say, man, I wonder if John can afford that. Is he really serious? Is there another county line that has like dollar sandwiches? Is he really serious about this thing? Or is he talking about that county line that I know about? We can sit there and debate that thing in our mind, or we can get in each one of our own individual vehicles. And some of us may be coming from Round Rock. Some of us may be coming from Cedar Park, from South Austin, whatever. But ultimately, if we want what he's promised in each one of our vehicles, we got to end up at that destination. And it's the same way with God. No matter what your vehicle is, and when we talk about the vehicle, I'm talking about specifically what Brother James had cued us in from the word of the Lord that he gave, is the fact that he has put in each one of us something that is expressly unique to each one of us. And in order to be the kingdom, that part has to be in place. Otherwise, the kingdom is missing an element. Okay? The Father God desires to see all of his creation become aligned under his plan of original intent, which is kingdom dominion exemplified in every scope of existence. But he has never intended, now this is the key, he has never intended that to be accomplished in some cookie cutter bland expression. You know, and pastors mention this too, and I think about it too. Isn't it amazing that the sky never looks the same? That God was faithful enough that the sky, all there's some element of the sky, whether it be amber, whether it be blue, whatever it is, the sky's condition is constantly changed. He could have made it just purple all the time. Now, if creation, if him in displaying his creation shows us the differences and the variances that he's made things, how much more so is that among his own people? He didn't create us to be cookie cutter in fulfilling the kingdom. That's why I know communism and socialism is crap. It's garbage. Because that's not the plan of God. Everybody has a different part to play in fulfilling the plan. So in order to understand that, we have to understand that the Father has uniquely and purposely designed each of us to play a significant role in the kingdom's manifestation. It is important for us to collectively, as well as even individually, see our place in the divine tapestry that the Father has set before us. We got to see ourselves that way. If we don't see ourselves that way, we're going to miss the whole equation of what the kingdom looks like. We each have a part to play. And so there are steps to getting there. And that's why everything that Pastor's been talking about, lordship and understanding him as Lord, these things are vital. So, and that's the step. That's step one in getting there, is understanding and accepting his lordship. He's the shot caller. He's the shot caller. We have to sell it and understand that we work in cooperation with him. Put it like this. And God made it very plain. He said, man, I got the playbook. I've got the playbook, and I know the playbook better than every player on the team. But in other words, if you're going to be on my team, you got to hook up with me so that you can understand the playbook even better. Because I understand it. My plan is for you to understand it just as much as I do, but you got to be in me, and you got to accept that the playbook. If a guy, get this, if a guy came from the Seattle Seahawks to the Dallas Cowboys, and what's his name, Garrett? Lord, help him. Help him. But anyway, if he starts telling this guy, well, we run routes this way, and the guy says, well, we didn't do that in Seattle, he ain't going to be around the Cowboys very long, because this is the Cowboys' way of doing things. So we can't come out of what we know and try to tell God, well, God, I know your word says this, but let's face reality. No, if God says the playbook calls for this, he knows what's in us and he knows that we can fulfill it. The question is, do we trust him enough to run the play? He's the shot caller. So we have to understand that in his plays, when we run his plays, we're going to always come out on top. He's Lord. And when we accept that, when we understand that and embrace that, we will never, ever be put to shame. Never. So that's the first step, is accepting his lordship. And then next after that, we have to receive the empowerment that comes from receiving that lordship. And he's given us the empowerment. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the equipping. He gives us the fuel to carry out what he's put on the inside of us, to live out those gifts, those callings, those things that he's placed in us. The Holy Spirit has given us that, but it all comes from receiving his lordship. And then once again, he's empowered us to carry out the fulfillment of whatever he's put in us. But number three is just as important. Once I have him as my Lord, and once I understand that he's empowered me to fulfill the plan and purpose that he's put in me, the next step is action. Action. You know, scientists, they have this thing. They think they came up with it, but they really stole it from God. It says, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. That's they stole that from God, because God said, what I put in you, now that I've put it in you, it's not supposed to be there laying dormant. I put it in you so it could produce. So it could produce. And so once we know that we are in him, and once we know and understand what he's empowered us to do, it's time to put it in motion. It's like Marshawn Lynch says about that action, boss. We got to put it in motion. But this is the key, church family. For whatever reason, this is the place where the body of Christ falls short of performance. This is we know what it says. We got it. Oh, man, I know. I know. Well, if I know, how come I don't go? if I know it, why am I not running with it? And so for whatever reason, the enemy preys on our fears, our discrepancies, our anxieties. But we have to be fully persuaded that we don't operate in our own ability. Once again, it goes back to that second step of receiving his empowerment to carry out the plan and purpose that he set before us. Remember what the word says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his spirit. That's our equipping. What God has deposited in us does not have to be worked up or forced or contrived. We simply flow with what he's deposited in us. The divine flow is better than me trying to figure it out on my own. We don't have to figure it out. We can rest in assurance that he who promised is faithful to bring it to completion. And, you know, I was thinking as I was looking at this, I was remembering the movie Chariots of Fire. And Chariots of Fire, the brother was, you know, he was a missionary. But his heart was to run. And that line in that movie that I love, he says, when I run, I feel his pleasure. When I run, I feel his pleasure. What is it that he's put in you that when you operate in it, you feel his pleasure? You know, I use this as an example. Some of my brother, well, back in about 2005, the Lord challenged me and he said, you know, Austin is known as the live music capital of the world. How much of that music is for my glory? And I began to think, like, none, really, if you think about it. And so from that moment on, there was a stirring in me that I was not satisfied until I saw just as much of God represented in music in Austin as we did everything else. I mean, it's fine. You know, music is music, but the expression of God being glorified was missing. And it was in my heart to see. So God began, I said, God, you have to lead me to people who had that same heart. And he began to do it. And some guys that I've been doing stuff with for years, we go out, we would do stuff in little small pockets, but then it began to grow and it began to grow until finally 2009 came and a brother was like, look, I'm going to give you guys an expression of stage during South by Southwest. But it wasn't us. It was just some other guys that we were working with, and we were working under them because we lived in Austin. They lived somewhere else. But what was happening is we were building everything and they would come down and get all the shine, you know, but we were faithful. It wasn't about us getting it. We didn't care. We just wanted to see God glorified and exemplified through that venue. And so all of a sudden, because of the faithfulness of God, the thing switched and it came in our hand, because we kept saying, Lord, this could be done so much better. this could be organized so much better. They were starting to organize a month before the event. And I'm like, what you going to do a month before the event? But then it switched hands, and now God said, what y'all going to do with it? We didn't have no more excuses. And then in the last 3 years, we've seen that thing grow. We've seen it develop, not just musically, but even on the spiritual side. We've had people that come in, and there's a group of people that all during the nights, every night, they're in a room just praying. And last year, we had a number of people come in who were contemplating suicide. We had several ministers who were about to quit the ministry. Just come into a concert. You think it's just a concert, but no, there's some other stuff going on. And these people were getting set free at a concert. And at the same time, God's given us favor with, you know, people that we would have never thought would have gave us the time of day. And but because they see our heart and they see what God is doing, they're hooking up with it. You know, we have an agreement this year with Motown. We have an agreement with Kirk Franklin that carried over from last year. And these are people that are coming. They're not asking for money. These are people that you would think would say, well, man, I ain't coming for, you know, less than. No, because they see what God is doing and they want to be a part of it. And so it's exciting this year. Man, this year we've got a group of guys who are part of a mission, a ministry called Impact, the Impact Movement. And they have, like, every spring break, they have about 200 people who they bring out and they go to different places. Sometimes they go to South Padre, they go to Florida. They contacted us and said, can we come to South by Southwest? And during the day, we want to walk the streets of Austin. We want to set all our kids loose. And these are on fire young people who are ready to do missionary work in the spring break, okay? And they're gonna be on the streets of Austin where all the South by Southwest stuff is going on, and they're gonna be getting one-on-one with people, and then what better opportunity? We bring them to a concert, which is gonna be their first expression of seeing godly kingdom music. And I'm like, this is all God setting this stuff up. But once again, I wanna preface, it came from an action that we took. We didn't just sit around and say, man, how are we going to do this? We took one step and it led to another step. We took another step and led to another step. It's the same way with anything that God puts in you. All you have to do is just take that step and the waters will begin to part. And so we're seeing that manifested, and I'm thankful to God for it. But once again, going back to what Eric Liddle said, what is it, that thing that when you do it, you sense his pleasure behind it? God smiles when you close on that realist. Once again, these things up here are not just decorations on the wall. This is where God wants his people planted. And if you don't know where it is, ask him. He would love to tell you what part you are supposed to play. But a lot of times you can just look at what you just do without even thinking. Whatever, it just flows out of you. That's typically which one of these spheres of influence he wants you to be groomed and deposited and working in. But God smiles when a real estate deal is going towards a community center instead of a bar. That's God's pleasure. God smiles when a doctor comes in and saves a baby that they said didn't have a chance to live. That's his pleasure exemplified. God smiles when in your break room, you can talk about a door that only he can open because you're manifesting him. He smiles when you are operating in what he deposited on the inside. And because we are the children of the Most High God and operating in what he's put in us, we don't ever know when he's going to have the opportunity to use us. And I have an example of this. The thing is that we get so caught up in, well, God, I don't have this ability. I can't talk like Pastor Jim, or I can't do like Brother Richard on the keyboard. It's not about your ability. It's about your availability. Are you willing to have that Isaiah mindset of, here I am, Lord, send me? And that's what we have to have. This is a testimony that a friend of mine shared on Facebook, and it blessed me. And this is, I want you to listen very closely to as she shared the story. She said, I just got off the phone with DirecTV to reset my login and password. Calling DirecTV, and you have a ministry opportunity. Check this out. She says, I needed to simply change my email address to a different email address, and that is why I needed to call for assistance. When I told the service rep, whose name was Kathy, I told Kathy my email address and that I would like to change it, she fell apart and began to tell me that God had sent me to call her that day. She said, I have been having such a bad day, and here you are needing my assistance when I actually needed yours. You see, what is amazing, the service rep Kathy needed a word today, and the one word she got was in my email address. I won't give it out, but my entire email address, but she says, but I will give you a part of my email address that ministered personally to Kathy. Part of my email address has Christ in it. When Kathy read my email address, something happened to her. She began to tell me on the phone, this is a service call, she began to tell me about her husband who had passed away to alcoholism and her daughter who had got divorced and has a son, and now both of them live with her. She went on to share more and then asked me, what are you using the internet for today? I told her, this week, my son and I, we have a magazine called Refocused Magazine, and we're in the process of formatting and preparing to go live with our November issue. The word refocused blew her mind, and as I was talking, she was typing and pulled up the magazine, and again, she began crying and saying how this was ministering to her. She's at work, getting ministered to through a service call. And so she says, Kathy went on to say, I'm going to share this with my friends. I live in the Philippines. It's 3:20 a.m. here. I was supposed to talk to you today. I just know it. And now I'm going to be okay because of what you shared. She said, I never had this kind of experience talking to a customer service person. My experience has always been negative, but today was different, and the Lord was lifted up with just my email address. And he drew Kathy to himself. As his word says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. John chapter 12, verse 32. Now, I want you to notice something that was pivotal. She was not just calling just simply to change an email address. She was what this lady and her son do. They do video work. They have a magazine. They are constantly covering and they do excellent work. They've come to all of our events and covered them. God has hooked us up with a real, real, real nice relationship with them. They are awesome people of God. It's a family. The husband is a pastor. The wife, she went to school for media work, got out of it because she was working for a secular media, and God told her basically to do everything for the kingdom. So she raised her kids up in there, and her son is one of the best professional photographers. I mean, he does some tremendous work. But they all work together on this Refocus magazine. This is their family's ministry, okay? They go all over the country doing this stuff. They were working on Refocus magazine, which is their ministry. And out of working in ministry, God gave them a divine connection to change someone's life. When we're in the process of doing and operating in what God has put in us, those open doors will come. And that's what I want to encourage us. When we start getting out there and flowing in what God has put in us, we don't have to worry about people coming to this place. They're going to want to come because they're going to start seeing the evidence of the fruit that's being produced in us. And they're going to say, man, I got to come see what you learning if it's producing that for you. And I knowing me, what I know about you, knowing you no different than me, but knowing what we know and what we trust in. When we start putting it in action, the fruit of that is going to start drawing people to not only this place, but to the kingdom of God. And this lady, just the email address was something that ministered to her, but it was because I believe that the Reed family was operating in their purpose. They were working on the magazine, and out of nowhere, they calling someone and it said 3:20 in the Philippines, they reached someone who needed to hear from God. And you look at the life of Christ, you look at when Christ was operating and doing the things that he was doing, it drew people who needed that touch from him. You know, the woman with the issue of blood. He was on his way to somebody's house. to take care of business. And out of that, a door opened for him to do more ministry. And that's what I think God is really causing his people and stirring us up to say, look, as you are going forth, you're going to have these opportunities to lead people who might be headed towards destruction. You might be that caution sign that leads them back to where I can work in them and produce my eternal plan in their lives. So I'm going to get ready to wrap up. But the key thing is we have to be open to these opportunities that God calls us to be light shining in the darkness. We have to allow ourselves to be that expression of the divine flow of God, of his grace being extended to mankind. We've heard this expression over and over again, is to know him and to make him known. That's why it's important for us to get caught up in understanding his plan and purpose for each one of us individually as well as collectively. And I can't stress enough, family, I can't stress enough, the spheres of influence. This wasn't some this thing that we thought of to just put up on the walls. These are things that God is telling his people now more than ever. Get locked into what I've called you to do and begin to produce kingdom in the earth. And I want to reference something. My wife was telling me something today that really blessed me. She said that my daughter, Rachel, is, you know, she's prayerfully considering schools and different things. And we have this mindset in Western civilization that if you don't go to college, you're not going to succeed. You don't, and I'm not knocking anyone. I went to college. Many of us went to college. But the key thing is that God's plan? And we've equated that to success. And I don't know for whatever reason, but it's just this Western mindset that we think. And then you go, and I see it every day. I see it every day. I work with you. For all you don't know, I work at the University of Texas. I work as an academic advisor. And these kids, some of these kids will sit in my office and they will ask me, what do you think I should major in? And I want to cry because, number one, their parents have done them a disservice. Or number two, they don't have a foundation within themselves to find the plan that they're supposed. And a lot of times it's because people say, well, if you don't go to school and become an engineer or doctor, I'm not paying for the education. And the kids are pressured. They're pressured to find something that they don't want to do. Because I'll ask them, well, what do you enjoy doing? And they'll begin to tell me, but they say, well, my mom and dad said I can't make any money from that. And I'm like, that's not true. And I've seen many of kids. There's a young man that I know who personally, his parents, they said they would not pay for his education when he said he wanted to be an advertising major. Talented young man. This young man said, well, if I have to work whatever I want to do, this is what I know I'm supposed to do. This young man went on, long story short, he comes to me his junior year, and he says, Mr. O'Brien, I don't need this degree anymore. And he goes, I'm just fulfilling the rest of these credits. I don't need them. I'm just fulfilling them just so I can have a paper. And so I said, well, talk to me. What's up? He said, well, some friends of mine had an idea. We went on Shark Tank and we won. He was like, I don't need this degree. He was like, our product is already in Walmart and Sam's Club. He says, about to get picked up by Kroger. So he said, I'm just doing this just because I started it. I want to finish it, but I really don't need it. He said, they're making me do an internship for my degree, and I own my own company. Like, I'm going to intern myself, basically. But once again, it's the limited thinking that has crept into society that says, if you don't have these things or you don't do this, you can't succeed. All you need is a word from God. What has God told you to do? Now, if school is going to help supplement that and make it better, praise God, run with it. But don't let what society has said is success define for you what you know God has put in you. Sometimes school can be the worst thing that can happen to young people because it will derail them from doing what really they should be doing, and they start getting into the pattern of what everyone else has done. And once again, we talked about it. God didn't create us to be cookie cutter. He created us to be uniquely individual people fulfilling his plan and purpose. And so I would encourage you, parents, if your kid says, well, mom and dad, I want to do this little bit, pray. Yeah. Pray, see God, but don't feel the pressure of, well, we got to put them in college, and if they don't go to. Once again, I work at a college. I understand it's great when they're tapped into what He has for them, but the pressure of society defining that as success is damaged our society, I believe, because we've got people who are just working jobs and they're not living lives. They're not fulfilling the purpose that's put on the inside of them. I mean, I can talk to many of my brothers and sisters in this room and ask them, are you doing what you got your degree for? And we'll get the answer. And you wouldn't be surprised, because we're not. But the bottom line is, follow after the plan and purpose that God has. And then lastly, I would just say, be salt and light in the earth. Be salt and light in the earth. We are taught well in this body. The word of God is so rich in some of us. If we push some of us hard enough, gold might come out. It's so much truth on the inside of us. But as the word has come forth through the various ones who spoke tonight, and it was just a divine setup, I believe, for God to say, look, and Brother James so eloquently said it, it's idleness is over for us, because it's so much that's been deposited on us. Now it's time to have a return. And that return is seeing the kingdom of God manifested in this city. We know the cry of the man of God since 1978 and 79, that Austin is the revival center of the nation. Let's make it that way, church. Let's not envision it anymore. It's a vision that's ingrained in us, and it won't ever stop being ingrained. But now it's time to start manifesting it. And I believe that's happening. I believe that each one of us is rising up. I decree it. That each one of us is rising up to the plan and purpose that God has established for each one of us individually as well as collectively. We have our new campus. We're not praying and begging for it. God has given us clarity. We know where we're headed. And from that, we're going to see Austin changed. Amen. Praise God. I'm done. Praise God.